Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning at HDK, and a welcome too to those who are joining us with live stream worship. Let's begin our worship this morning with a brief word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and worship you this day. We thank you for your love and grace and goodness that calls us here today. Lord, bless us as we share this time with you and each other. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let us now move into a time of worship with our first song, My Lighthouse.
Before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm.
Hey, kids, would you like to come down the front? Because Glenda's got a kids' talk, even though the slide is missing. We're still going to have the kids' talk. We can't miss it out today because she's got something very special for you. Oh, did you? Okay. Well, kids.
Good morning. There's not enough kids. Does anybody else want to be a kid today? All right, got one other one here, I've got another one here. Anybody else want to be a kid today? Nobody else wants to be a kid today. Oh my goodness. So let me tell you, I love parties. I love going to parties. Who likes going to parties? Everybody likes going to parties. Do you like going to parties? You do? What do you like about parties, Indy? The cake. Liam? Seeing people. That's an interesting one. Ben, what do you like about parties? What's the best thing? The food. You know what I like about parties? Anybody else like the goodie bags? Ooh, yes. I got one here. Just one. I have a goodie bag. What sort of things do you find in goodie bags? Goodies. What other things do you find in goodie bags? Lollies? What else? Balloons? Anything else? Toys? Okay. Oh, I've got a duck. I have a duck in mine. Do you like ducks? No? Is that what you meant, Kelly? They make lots of noise. No, I won't blow it. It might blow the ears out of the sound guys up the back. I got the nod. Please blow it. Ben wants me to blow it, Wayne. Balloon? Balloon. That's got a smiley face on it because it's going to be a fun party, this one. What else have I got? Oh, that's really little. Oh, there's two. That's all right. What else have I got in here? Put that down. More lollies. Anybody want to wear that one? Must be a pirate party I'm going to, I think. Anyway, that's most of the things I've got in there. That's all I'm going to show you for now, anyway. Does that look like a reasonable sort of a goodie bag? Would you be happy if you went to a party and got that goodie bag? Liam's not sure. I remember when I was doing birthday parties for my kids, it was a bit of a competition among the mums about the goodie bags. Mine were always pretty basic, I can tell you that. Anyway.
McDonald's. We'd go to McDonald's.
Not every year we didn't go to McDonald's. Sometimes we did. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, serious now. You know, the Bible has stories about parties in it, and I'm going to tell you about one of those stories today. And it's a bit of an odd one, really, because it was actually a wedding. And the king wanted to throw a big party for his son's wedding, so he sent all the invitations out. But nobody accepted his invitations, and they were like, there were no reasons. There were excuses. Oh, I'm going to be too busy that day. I've got a headache. I've got to mow the lawn. How would you feel if you had a birthday party and nobody that you sent an invitation to would come? Liam, how would you feel? Oh, more food for Liam. Yeah, that's what I'd sort of expect. What about you, Indy? Yeah, I think I'd be really sad too. In fact, I'd probably lock myself in my bedroom and cry if nobody wanted to come to my party. So what he did then was he went, okay, we're not going to think about those people. We're going to go out and anybody who wants to come to my party can come. So the bloke on the street, the guy trimming the trees, the fella driving the truck, the guy at the petrol station, anybody can come to my party. And they did. Lots of people came to his party. But the unusual thing about this story, considering he'd invited everybody, was it was one chap who didn't wear the right wedding clothes, and the king sent him home. That was a bit odd, wasn't it? Anyway, I've got something else in my goodie bag. And it's a bit of a weird thing. I think if you went to a birthday party and got this in your goodie bag, you'd be a bit surprised. Would you be surprised if you got that in your goodie bag? Yeah, you'd be surprised, wouldn't you? But you know, that party was actually God's party. And he invited everybody to his party. And you know what else? This is God's party. Our life is God's party. And when we go to God's party, this is the goodie bag he gives us. And he wants us to accept that as his gift to us. So this gift is Jesus. It's the gift of Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can go to God's party. We can live in God's party every day. Now, thinking about that guy that didn't wear the right wedding clothes, I'm thinking that because we have Jesus and because this is the invitation to God's party, we put Jesus on. He is our wedding garment. And how do people know that we are wearing Jesus as our wedding garment? Because we will show people by the way we live. And that is love, isn't it? We will be different from other people in the world because we will wear that garment of love. Does that make sense? I think it's pretty exciting, really. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you invite all of us to your party, that you give us Jesus as the gift in our goodie bag at the party, and that when we take him, we wear that robe of love and we spread it to everybody we know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, here you go. A goodie bag. Yeah, they did.
I'm a kid.
No, I'm taking yours.
But that belongs to me. See, I'm married to a hard woman.
I've got some more bits and pieces at home, darling. Anybody else want a goodie bag? Ooh, there's James. Anybody else want a goodie bag?
Okay, while I'm missing out on a goodie bag, let's stand and we'll share the greeting of peace. No, you enjoy it, Joy. May the Lord be with you. We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's give each other the wave of peace and we'll wave the kids with blessing off to HTK Kids Club this morning. Follow in behind the Pied Piper, Janet. Peace, everyone. Okay, you may be seated. Well, this morning, as you are all well aware, we have a former member of this church and child of this church who's grown up at HTK and now wears the cloth. And Carolyn Payne, we welcome you. And Carolyn is going to share the gospel reading and the message this morning. So let's welcome Carolyn.
Thank you. Hang on, I'll just count all the pages. Yeah, that's right. That's 10. Right. I think that's got them in the right order, yes. The gospel. Would you please stand? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Jesus used stories to teach the people. The kingdom of heaven is like what happened when a king gave a wedding banquet for his son. The king sent some servants to tell the invited guests to come to the banquet, but the guests refused. He sent other servants to say to the guests, "The banquet is ready. My cattle and prized calves have all been prepared. Everything is ready, so come to the party." But the guests did not pay any attention. Some of them left for their farms, some of them went to their places of business. Others grabbed the servants and beat them up and eventually killed them. And this made the king very angry. So he sent his army to kill those murderers and burn down their city. Then he said to the servants, "It is time for the wedding banquet, and the invited guests don't deserve to come. So go out to the street corners and tell everyone you meet to come to this feast, this banquet." And they went out on the streets and brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet room was filled with guests. When the king went in to meet the guests, he found that one of them wasn't wearing the right kind of clothes for a wedding. and the guest had no excuse. So the king gave orders for that person to be tied hand and foot and to be thrown outside into the dark. That's where people will cry and grit their teeth in pain, because many are invited, but only a few are chosen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May these words be heard and spoken in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit of life. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, everyone loves a wedding. Usually, after many months of preparations have taken place, the wedding proceeds. And amidst the excitement of all the preparation, unfortunately, sometimes there can be different kinds of zillers involved. And what you say, what is a ziller? Well, ziller in this case is a suffix, is used as a suffix. It means the end, the word. Zilla refers to Godzilla, you know, the monster who's always roaring, always loudly deciding how everyone should react to an event. Here we go. How and what we should eat and dress and what we should do, etc., etc., etc. Thank you, Steve. You've probably heard of Bridezilla, or a chief bridesmaidzilla, or a mother-in-lawzilla, or in some cases even a groomzilla. And I can verify there are groomzillas around. And I know it seems like an exaggeration, but if you've ever been involved in organising any wedding, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, and you haven't been involved, and you don't really understand what a ziller is, then maybe, just maybe, you were a ziller yourself, and you didn't know it at the time. Now, zillers' hearts are always in the right place. They know how important it is for the wedding to go off successfully. Zillers, when challenged, will tell you that they only want the best for everyone. However, they have a habit of ignoring the needs of others, pushing in and taking over. Yes, everyone loves a wedding. So what's Godzilla got to do with today's gospel? What has an overbearing, perhaps control freak, got to do with the parable of the wedding feast? Well, just please bear with me. We know that Jesus taught in parables. It was a well-known technique of the day. The simple messages were conveyed by imagery and illustrations, which, although seemingly unassuming, served as analogies of the spiritual status of the Jews. And as such, Jesus' teachings reflected in the anger and of the chief priests and Pharisees who plotted and schemed against him. Because at every turn, Jesus, in subtle and sometimes not so subtle ways, is having a go at them. For Jesus, the kingdom of God was contrary to the practices of the chief priests and Pharisees of the time. Now, the parable of the wedding banquet and the refusal of some to attend is full of violence in the shape of beatings, murder, and punishment by death. Now, this is very characteristic of Matthew's gospel. It seems like Matthew is at times preoccupied with retribution and punishment. However, let us be really clear about one thing. Matthew is not talking about punishment in the afterlife, because the wedding banquet, with all of its consequences for those who accept the invitation and for those who don't, those consequences are now in this life. We know that to be true because Jesus was fond of saying the kingdom of heaven is now and has already come near. Yes, the kingdom is here, though not yet complete, but it's near. So let's take a look at the fellow who comes to the wedding reception with no wedding robe and is therefore kicked out unceremoniously. How we dress for God's banquet of life in the here and now does have consequences now. When we put on the wedding robe supplied for all, we are dressed with things like love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, and self-control. However, if we choose to dress like the fellow in the parable, if we reject St. Paul's call in Colossians 3, if we do not put on love, a love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, there are consequences, personal consequences for ourselves. You know, it's interesting then how often, when you think about it, parties of one sort or another figure in Jesus' teachings and his life. And this party starts off really promising, a real humdinger of a party, lavish in its provisions. It is to be a celebration of love, a feast fit for a king. And yes, that's what the kingdom of God is like, a humdinger of a party that marks something wonderful in human experience. Now, this is one to look forward to. You'll become almost Godzilla-like with your family and your friends, everyone you know, for this party, this wedding is something so special. It's so important. They have to be told. They have to be invited. But what do the invited guests do on this particular occasion? They make light of it. Can this really be happening? Can this really be happening? How devastating is it that those first asked had knocked back the invitation? Please come to this party, this fabulous party put on by the king for his son. And you say no? Their excuses are feeble, insulting even, a real slap in the face to the king. So what's really going on in this story? What's really going on in the text here? Because this is a society where honour and status counted for everything, in every circumstance. Matthew tells us the king is enraged. He has been dishonoured and disrespected not once but twice. The invited guests rudely refused to come. And add on to that, they viciously dispose of the messengers. This is a very strange story. The king is offering to come close to them, to share all his joy, but they will not have it. They are determined to keep their distance, whatever the cost. To the very first audience who heard that story, it's plain enough. The people of Israel were invited to the king's party. They rebuffed the invite. And they killed the prophets and beat them up. And they refused to see in Jesus any invitation. And they will usually mistreat. Eventually, they mistreat the son and kill his followers after he has died and resurrected. And as usual, Matthew, the gospeler, turns the story again so that a new audience can hear a different point of view, a new power. Because a generation or two after Jesus' death, Matthew is witness to the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the imperial forces. Now, this is a disaster. Hardly a stone is left standing. And the people, including Matthew, are devastated. But the parable in this circumstance has more power now. Again, the king was infuriated. He sends his troops to destroy those murderers and burn their cities. Message is that consequences are pretty dire for those who refuse. Making light of such an invitation is devastating, and what is lost to the Israelites is gone, but to those who have no position to guard, who have no worries about protecting themselves or their honour, those simply are ready to enjoy what is offered. They are the ones that enter the kingdom. And God's kingdom is like that. How we dress for God's banquet of life in the here and now is vital. It's vital to all those we love and hold dear, and all those who don't know the abundant life we have through Jesus. By God's grace alone, we've been gifted an exquisite wedding robe, a garment that clothes us with joy, with love, with peace, with kindness, with patience, with harmony, and forgiveness. And Paul tells us to put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And when the day is done, indeed, when my last day is done, I'm just grateful that a wedding robe will simply be handed to me, a robe that symbolises God's eternal claim on me, a robe that covers my hesitation, my sense of unworthiness, my brokenness and my sin, and sometimes my Zilla-likeness. The youth leaders here, when I first arrived and came, often told me I was very anal, making them tick all the boxes. I can be like a Zilla too. A youth ministry Zilla. But that robe symbolises God's eternal claim on me, covers all that. And this is our promise, God's promise now. And I'll leave you with a question to ponder. I wonder what we would look like if we put on that robe every single day of our lives. The Lord be with you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Let us stand now for our affirmation of faith based upon Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Since God chose us to be the holy people whom he loves, we should make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends us. We must wear love as our most important piece of clothing. The peace that comes from Christ will rule in our hearts. The words of Christ in all their richness will live in our hearts and make us wise. We will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts.
And whatever we do or say, it will be in representative of the Lord Jesus. All the while giving thanks to him, O our Father. Amen.
You may be seated as we share the prayers for today.
Heavenly Father, we continue to give you thanks for the opportunities we have to worship you back in this place. We uphold the medical teams and all those who are still working to keep us safe during this pandemic time. We pray that your leaders will be chosen in the forthcoming election to guide us. Help us, Lord, to wear the wedding robes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. as we go about our daily lives, so that all who we meet will know that we are your followers and want to join us. I wonder, Lord, who needs your healing hand at this time? I wonder what you are calling me and how you are calling me to show love this week. As our Saviour has taught us, we pray. Our heavenly, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we say together, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And those on live stream, please stay on and join with us in Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Let's stand.
will soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbids.